There's been a lot of talk about it, a lot of anticipation, and now it's out. The version 5 products from Dolphin, including HAL, Luna, and Supernova. In January on Main Menu, we're going to feature a comprehensive review of HAL from Brian Hodgins, so you can really hear it being put through its paces. But for this time, we're going to have an interview with a couple of people from Dolphin, Steve Bennett, who's involved in the sales part of Dolphin, and also Adam Hodgson, who's involved in the development team of HAL. I should say that the quality of this isn't as good as I actually thought it was when we recorded it, because Steve and Adam were unable to get the conferencing system to work, so they reverted to using a speakerphone in the end. So you will hear some dropouts, and for that I apologise. I certainly hope that you'll get the gist of what sounds like a very exciting product from Dolphin. We begin by asking Steve Bennett to tell us a little bit about the philosophy behind HAL and what's new in version 5.
Well, there's been a great deal done of the code terms on the screen reader side. It's been completely rewritten. I think I can liken it to the ground and first floor of a very high-story block. What we're looking now is for the next 10 years to develop this particular piece of code and to really progress to what we feel will be the best screen reader as well. So HAL and Supernova, which is HAL and the magnification part put together, have been completely changed in code terms.
So is it a complete rewrite from the ground up, or have you used some parts of the previous code?
Well, some parts have been kept, like the magnification side of things. That's been pretty much kept, because that was doing a pretty decent job. But the actual side of things, which detects the text on the screen and the sections of code which output the speech and the braille, have been completely rewritten. All the code in version 4 has been put to one side, and it's been completely rewritten in version 5.
Why did you feel there was such a need to do a substantial rewrite like this? I mean, what was so wrong with the previous code?
Well, shall I give you the sales version, and then Adam could give you the code?
Fair enough, yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, from the sales point of view, every time that Adam seemed to be doing some work on it, we seemed to fix more things than we actually, features we put in. New updates were taking longer than we had originally anticipated. So, and Adam would say?
I'd say we got to the point with the version 4. As you know, we've gone from the stage of the version 1 to the version 2, the version 3 to the version 4. And we've sort of been rolling along. The program, it was performing well, but it was getting more and more complex to maintain. So when users are saying, can you put this feature in, or can you put, you know, can you do this, it was taking us longer and longer to put new features in, because we ran the risk of breaking other parts of the screen reader. So it was, the decision was taken basically to start from scratch and get a new sort of structure in where we could put new features in quicker without potentially breaking other parts of the screen reader functionality.
Can we talk a little bit about some of the new features in version 5? And in particular, could I start the ball rolling with the very significant changes that you've made in terms of the way that you browse the web with HAL? That's a bit different now.
Yeah, it is. It's significantly changed. In the previous versions, we used the navigation mode, which would have meant the mouse would move around the screen. On loading a web page now, or HTML page, the screen reader automatically jumps into what we call virtual focus. And virtual focus is a way of navigating around that screen. You can just cursor down and go down between the objects, or pressing tab will obviously take you between the links. Jump text, jump between links, jump into edit areas. There's loads of things there now. But most significantly, I think, is the web page scrolls up and down, which means that, that's particularly if you're working with somebody who has a visual impairment, you can always see where they are and join in with them. But more importantly, if you're a magnification user, you can actually see what's being spoken.
Now, presumably you're making quite extensive use of Microsoft's active accessibility for that virtual focus mode, is that correct?
Yeah, basically we're using the information from Internet Explorer. So yeah, we version 5 has got full MFAA support, and we're using that fully in our support web.
That in itself is a significant departure from HAL's past philosophy, it seems to me, because in the past you tended to steer away from being too heavily reliant on MSAA. Is that kind of an acknowledgement that MSAA is actually the way to go?
We got to the point with the MSAA where we were comfortable that the MSAA was stable. A lot of the trouble that we've had with MSAA with the earlier versions of MSAA is that it would actually cause crashes in Windows, and we sort of value the stability of the product for the screen reader. So that's why in the previous versions we didn't really go into a full implementation of the MSAA. But as I say, with the recent releases of MSAA from Microsoft, it's generally stable, so we've decided that the functionality of the screen reader wouldn't be sort of impaired by it, so we use it fully now. We're not completely reliant on MSA, we've still got our other detection systems, but we get the best of both worlds. We've got our sort of our accurate off-screen model, and we can also tie that in with information from the MSA, so we get, you know, we can fully detect them on the screen.
The virtual focus mode sounds fairly similar to features that have been in a couple of other screen readers for a few years now. Are there differences, or is it a fairly similar offering?
Yeah, I'm going to have to seem a little simple there, Jonathan, because I'm not very good at the other products. I can give you what I've been told by people I've shown it to, and they've said it's very similar to some of the things that actually the, for instance, WindowEyes or perhaps Jaws would do. With the exception, of course, the page scrolls up, so you keep it in view at all times.
Right, okay. So if you're working with a sighted trainer, for example, or you do have some vision, then it's easy to work with. All right,
Okay. The nice thing about virtual focus is it actually gives a little highlight on the page as well. So that's particularly useful if you're working with a sighted trainer. We tell a lot of Supernova to people in education and in public access. With the virtual focus being highlighted, at all times you know where they are, so you can keep along with them. It's most helpful.
Now, one of the things that interested me when I read the press release about HAL version 5 is that you buy one product and it seems to support pretty much any Windows operating system that's out there. Is that how it works?
Yeah, so HAL, Supernova, Luna Plus, all of our products would now have one platform. So whether you're a user of 95, 98, ME, NT, 2000, or XP, you have it all on one disk. It's particularly useful if you're running, say, a 2000 server, which presents itself as 98. There's no problems in that at all.
And so do you pay one price and get all that functionality, or does the price vary depending on which operating system you're licensing it for?
No, absolutely. It's a one price. So I'm buying HAL, you buy all those platforms, the availability to all those platforms on the one disk. We were very conscious, and particularly in schooling here in the UK and in Europe, where a 95, 98 product would be bought, there is a need to go to 2000 for the security side, and we were then asking more money for which is really the same code. So we've taken that away now, and it's available on the disk for everybody.
Tell me some of the other features in version 5 that you're particularly proud of.
Yeah, I got an hour.
Take all the time
I
need.
The document read. So the document read a web page, or it'll document read, say, Word. In fact, document read will read anything, so a dialogue box, a menu, anything that the user wants to use.
Right.
You get this seamless braille and magnification and screen reading that are all combined in the one product in Supernova. In HAL, you get the screen reading and the braille together. We've got two versions, in fact, of HAL and Supernova, which is professional and the standard version. We've got lots of... perhaps I should go back there a little bit. The standard version uses maps created in the professional version, and those maps are like a set of rules which are peculiar to each application. Much better support in Excel. Adobe, Acrobat Reader works well there. What else have we got?
Internet. The product can be updated over the internet. Users can connect to the, using the new version, can connect to the Dolphin website and download the latest map files. And they can also receive minor product updates over the internet.
Okay, that's a very useful feature. I'm interested in finding out a little bit more about map files. So you need the professional version in order to create them, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Right. And when you have the professional version, what's the process that's involved in creating map files? Because often people find that they feel a little bit shut out of the configuration features of their screen reader because they're a bit complex to get going.
Okay, well, Adam can help you there, I think.
Well, so the way that you've got this concept of training modes, and you basically you use the screen reader, and if you find that you have a problem with an application, or you're running an application for the first time, and it isn't being detected properly, you can enter this special mode called training mode. And that will bring up a screen which basically shows you all the parts of the screen that the screen reader has detected. And then you can navigate through the list of the objects, and you can tell the screen reader what, if it hasn't detected a particular part of the screen properly, what that part of the screen is, what it does. You can also edit these rules that you create so that you can track the focus correctly. If the screen reader isn't tracking the focus in a specific window or in a specific console, you can correct that. You can force the screen reader to relabel parts of the screen. If you're not happy with part of the text that's being spoken, you can tell with the training mode, you can sort of force the screen reader to say specific pieces of text when you're on a certain control. And you can also, we've also got this idea of virtual objects. And this allows you in training mode, you can actually put in objects which aren't actually on the screen. So if you've got a skinned application like Winamp, which just appears as a one solid bitmap, for the Winamp window, you can use the virtual objects to sort of fill in rectangular regions, so you can create virtual buttons and virtual sliders and virtual edit areas. And then using the virtual focus when you've left training mode, you can then interact with the application as you would any other.
Do you have some sort of upgrade path between the regular version, for want of a better term, and the professional version? Because I suppose that people might grow into the professional version. Yeah.
I don't know how unique we are here, but we don't ask our clients to upgrade to each issue. So if they're on version 3 of HAL, they can purchase version 5 for the cost of £100 UK.
Okay.
In terms of dollars, that would be the equivalent there, and same in Europe. So it's £100 to the standard version. If they're going to a professional version, okay, in terms of UK pounds, that would be £430.
Right. What happens if you buy the regular version and then you find that you've grown into the professional version and you want to get that after all?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, there is a price difference of £300 UK between them, sterling. But we have actually got, there's a method where people can upgrade, particularly in the first 3 months of the release, for £230. I'm very conscious of the fact that there are some excellent features in the professional that many users, power users, would find useful.
So when you're selling this product to people, how do you determine which one is right for them, the professional version or the less costly version?
Yeah, okay. Personally, I go through the options in each of them, and I try to let the user make their own mind up. I mean, the professional version is the standard version plus the training mode, so it's still a full screen reader. If you have Supernova, it's got the magnification as well. With the training mode, you can actually add some excellent features to a map, but we do issue it with a little bit of a warning that you can actually undo things in a map as well. So this is a much easier method than understanding Visual Basic or C++ for changing things for you. But the trouble is it can be a little easy and you can undo things, which is why we've got a default button in there as well. So the short answer is I'll let users decide what they want to do, I think.
If you're buying HAL from scratch, I mean, let's say you own another screen reader and you download the demo and you're so impressed with it that you want to go out and buy HAL, how much does it cost to buy a new copy?
Yeah, okay. Well, we give 35% off if you want to trade in. Okay, so If you want to trade your original screen reader off to the HAL version or Supernova, we'll give a 35% reduction. But in terms of how much is HAL brand new, it's £495 UK. But there is a reduction if you're if you're registered blind or visually impaired at the moment in the UK. We do give a £100 reduction. And of course, there is a nice concession from the Customs and Excise here, but there's no VAT or sales tax to pay on that. So £395 if you're an end user, £495 if it's a company, perhaps.
Okay. And that's for which version?
Version 5. So that's full.
That's the standard.
Oh, my apologies, Jonathan. Yeah, that's the standard version.
Okay.
So the professional version would be £795.
Right, so quite a difference there, but a lot more functionality.
£300.
In terms of coming to grips with all of the things that the screen reader can do, I seem to recall from your press release you've gone to some trouble to provide training materials that help people get used to the screen reader.
Yeah, very much so. One of the technical support team has used his expertise, Neil McBride, and he's written 10 tutorials that actually go out on 2 CDs. And they start with just the basic installation process, and then an introduction, how to customize your access software, our application settings, and some how to settings file management, how to load maps perhaps, Internet Explorer, and Neil set up a place on our website where people can use the configuration keys so they can put it into practice, Outlook Express, and Windows Explorer. So they're all on those CDs. And they'll be free, they're free issued with the product.
Have you ever thought about putting those on the web for people who perhaps are trying the demo to get the most from the demo?
Yeah, that's one thought. I must admit I haven't. Because they come with the product, I suppose, you really need the product because they're very much written with the product in mind. Yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why we can't.
Yeah, because at the moment they don't come.
Neil would be particularly pleased because he's rightly very proud of what he's done there.
Yes, because at the moment they don't come with a downloadable demo, so having...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good point.
All right, well, that'd be excellent. The version 5 synthesizers that are supported, I know you've got Orpheus. For those who aren't familiar with Orpheus, can you tell us a bit about that?
Okay, Orpheus is the sort of Dolphin's software synthesizer. I'd say it's pretty much got a sort of synthetic voice. It's not like the sort of the Microsoft voice you get is more sensitive, not the person. The Dolphin one is the Dolphin Office, still saying a bit of a synthetic quality to it, but the main advantage of that is that the Dolphin Office synthesizer, the blind users can set the speed of that much higher than say sort of a realistic sound voice, and they can access the use the screen a lot quicker because the speed of the synthesizer is still intelligible at these higher speeds. The other main advantage of the Dolphin Orpheus is its international language support. It supports a lot of languages from the one product.
It's particularly good at homonyms, so things like read and red, wind and wind, live and live would all be read correctly. Which some of the synthesizers do trouble with.
Interesting.
There is a second synthesizer on the disc now, Jonathan, so we've made available the Microsoft Sappy Voices, so, and there is an option that users can move on the fly, so there's actually a key movement to swap synthesizers.
Yes, I had a bit of a play with this, a very brief play. Am I right in saying that it doesn't support the DeckTalk XS32 at the moment?
Don't know. We're both looking at each other. I think we've actually not tried that. If it doesn't, I've got a feeling that may be in version 5.02.
Excellent. What is SAM? The I know the acronym stands for Synthesizer Access Manager, but what's the philosophy and the purpose of SAM?
Well, SAM was Dolphin's attempt at providing a universal solution to the number of interfaces between, you've got all these different manufacturers of RAL displays and synthesizers, and they all have different ways of accessing themselves. So Dolphin wrote SAM for its products to provide an easy way of communicating between all these different dial displays and all these different synthesizers on the market. So SAM really just sort of takes in information from the braille display, or it actually sends out information from the screen reader to the braille display or synthesizer.
And there is a SAM to SEPI gateway, I see. So basically, any SEPI synthesizer should work with Howl and related products.
Yeah, there's a SAM to SEPI drive. I think I don't know if this is in with the 501, but we are beta testing a SEPI 5 SAM drive. I'm not sure whether that's actually included with the 501, but we have developed a SEPI 5 drive for the newer.
Yes. Yep.
Software since will be supported by Dolphin.
Yeah, I did actually see it there. There's SAM to SEPI and then another one called SAM to SEPI 5. So it did seem to make it in the demo, at least the downloadable demo that's there.
Okay.
So excellent.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else in terms of functionality, features, things you want to boast about that we haven't covered?
Yeah, well, you're talking to the right guy there. I think there's a lot in Braille for users as well now. So
good point. Yep.
We've done lots of work in the Braille side. And that now, sort of, if you're using a Prescott Pulse Data Braille note, you can actually use the keys to actually Braille back in on the keyboard, from the keys actually onto the screen. So you can type back in. We've got keys 7 and 8, or pin 7 and 8 rather, can pick up attributes, and lots of other information could be supplied via those.
Now, that is very groovy. Can you Braille in grade 2, or is it grade 1 that you Braille into?
I think you can set it, Jonathan.
Okay.
So, and one of the problems we have in the UK is there are relatively few Braille users. But there seem to be lots more in perhaps in Germany and Holland. So,
yes.
I come across relatively few Braille users. I do have to say, though, that when I do meet the Braille users, they are extremely enthusiastic about using Braille in general. So I need to get more up to date on that, perhaps.
That really is...
Can I on a couple of other things?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, we'll do. I think the virtual focus makes it a lot easier to move around. People can select that virtual focus where they want to put it on and off. And the nice thing about cursoring around a web page is that you can route the virtual focus to where you are and vice versa. So it's extremely easy if you've dropped into edit areas.
Yeah, just that we've got this new feature called interactive mode, where say if you're using the virtual focus to navigate through a web page, and then you're on a search engine, and you use the virtual focus to take you onto an edit area, you can then switch into interactive mode, which then lets you enter text into that specific control.
Right.
And then you can switch back into virtual focus mode, and then sort of click on it or submit forms and things like that.
With the mats, you can actually have 50 application keys and 50 custom general global keys. So things like Word, the Internet, can have 50 different keyboard movements or 50 functions, whatever that's decided. Now, have to remember that we'll make these mats free of charge. If you can buy it in the local PC shop or your software place, we'll make that map free of charge. And users will be able to just click on the download and pick it up. It's a bespoke system, then it's going to be a little more difficult, and we probably need the software and need to make a judgment based on that. But those 50 keyboard movements we found are extremely useful. So it's one thing to get an application talking. It came home to me when I worked with a user here, is what is nice is getting that map really useful by putting some keyboard movement in, not just to click on things, but to get information and to move around the screen quicker. So that people, in fact, there's a little anecdotal story there. The user who sat next to one of our version 5 readers was quite upset because a version 5 reader was getting quicker on the keyboard than they, because they had to keep diving for their mouse all the time.
That's wonderful. Yep, that's absolutely wonderful. And I see from the material that I've received that you do have quite a few extra applications supported in version 5, including Winamp and a number of other multimedia type applications.
Yeah, and again, getting my boasting hat on, Winamp has lots of different skins or has the capability. Because we've written it based on the code, When the skin changes, or its color changes, or it changes its position, it doesn't matter. The map just still works.
And when someone downloads the downloadable demo to take a look, and I'm sure a number of people who are listening to this will want to do so after hearing you talking about it, what are the limitations of the downloadable demo?
Yeah, okay. At the present time, the version 5 demo runs for 30 minutes, at which time it will stop, and the users will have to reboot the PC. And there are, I think, 4 or 5 what we call splash screens that come up and tell useful hints for people. So we're just trying to stop people using it rather than buying the product, but they do get a good flavor for it. The other thing it does is, whilst it's a full version of the professional product, and you can create maps, what it doesn't do is actually keep those. So I'm actually timing out. Those will be lost.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose because otherwise the people who own the standard product would just download the demo of the professional one and make the maps, right?
You'll be on the same train of thought as us there, John.
Okay. And what sort of online documentation is available for people who want to learn the ropes when they download the demo?
I don't know. Within the documentation version 5 has been completely rewritten, because I don't know if you've used the version 4, but the documentation in version 4 was, shall we say, sadly lacking in a number of areas. Mm. And so the documentation that you get with the demo version and the standard and the professional is we've implemented a full HTML help system, and the documentation is really good. It covers all the things. I don't know if you've seen the version 4 documentation, but it's not just like single lines, things like this does this or click here. We've actually rewritten in giving the philosophy of version 5, we've rewritten the documentation as well. And with the virtual focus, the use of the HTML help system is really easy to use. Because as soon as you start the HTML help with the documentation, it automatically puts you into the virtual focus and you can cursor through the HTML help as if it was just a normal document.
Hmm. And the Christmas break is coming up, so people may have some time to play with a new screen reader and even ask Santa to bring it to them. So where do people go if they want to find out more about HAL and even download the demo to have a play with?
Yeah, okay. If they hit the Dolphin website, which is www.dolphinuk.co.uk, find the download link, and then you'll be able to pick it up from there. It's not actually on the American site at the present time, or the German site, but will be in the new year.
All right. And while I've got you there, you guys are running an ISP, I understand, for blind people in the UK. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, okay. I think we've launched with a company called AffinityNet, an ISP, DolphinAccess.net. We were particularly frustrated by some of the access that our users had via the internet. And more than that, we were even more frustrated by the fact that the installation process for the ISPs do not talk correctly. What we've done is worked with AffinityNet, and they've produced an excellent loading process and a good way for people to get out on the net. So I have to say it would be a lost leader for us, but I'm particularly pleased to see customers coming back with their comments on how easy it is to load the ISP.
And is that nationwide in the United Kingdom?
Yeah, it's up and down the UK. So we have looked outside of the UK, and the company that we use, which we picked very carefully actually, AffinityNet, do have access at the moment throughout Europe. So we're going to work very closely with our dealers there to see what they would like us to do in those areas.
That's very interesting. I've no doubt people can find out about that on the website. So just before we conclude, are you at this early stage encouraged by the response that you've received from customers and potential customers about the changes in version 5?
Well, that's very strange to say that, because prior to you giving us a call, we were having a conversation about it. I was only showing somebody yesterday from one of the local, Southampton area, from a college there, and as I went through all the options, she must have said brilliant 20 times. It's very rewarding, very, very rewarding, particularly when I'm teaching children, showing teachers, lecturers, how much the product does now and how it can be used by that whole range of visual impairments. So, yeah, it's golden new times at the moment at Dolphin.
Brilliant. Well, I appreciate you both taking some time to tell us about HAL version 5, and I've no doubt we'll keep in touch in future months as the product develops.
Excellent. Well,
okay.
Thanks for your help.
Thanks, Jonathan.